The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, Tuesdays wouldn't be the same without a bit of Neil Atkinson, but he's got his glad rags on and he's heading for Glastonbury. So he's currently based somewhere in Cheshire, but we will catch up with him now. Morning to you, Neil.
Good morning, Steve.
Let's talk Liverpool. Let's talk transfers. That's all most Liverpool fans are talking about at the moment. This Mohamed Salah thing has dragged on and on and on. I mean, it will get to an end quite quickly, I think, now. Are you bothered about what Liverpool will pay for him?
No, I'm not really, but I think it's interesting what Liverpool are going to pay for him. This is a lad who scored 1-2 last season playing in Italy from wide areas, and yet Liverpool are only paying $35 million. I think they've ended up with quite a bargain, to be honest with you, looking at what's happening elsewhere. And I think that this is something which is... If you add this and the Van Dijk thing together, I think that, and not just this, by the way, and not just involving Liverpool, I think the bigger clubs are sort of putting the clubs they're buying from, they're being predatory towards us, noses out of joint. Because what I think is actually happening is a lot of the auction around these players is going on in the background, and it's not involving these clubs. So, for instance, there's not been any talk of Salah, and as I say, he's 1-2, he's a very good player, going anywhere else. It's been crystal clear for some time he is going to Liverpool. And there's a fair bit of that going on. For instance, it's not as though there's going to be a big bidding war for Mbappe. There's going to be a price and it's going to be a lot of money, but Real Madrid are almost certainly going to pay it. And there isn't this culture which there has been in the past. There's a couple of interesting ones around Oxlade-Chamberlain, and that's because it's Arsenal who are the selling club. But for the smaller clubs, you know, for instance, Van Dijk, since Liverpool have made the complete mess of the situation that they've made, it isn't as though there's like Manchester City or Chelsea queuing up to get back in for him,
no.
Seemingly. Now, this was a footballer who was pretty much the most in-demand centre-half, certainly in England, possibly in Europe, up until he decides he's going to go to Liverpool. That's a really strange situation. You'd have thought that suddenly the auction would start and so on and so forth. And I think that, in general, you know, Roma have clearly had a bit of a problem with the way Liverpool have gone about the business, but there's no other interest. Why is that? That's quite a strange thing. So, yeah, I'm excited about Salah, and I think Liverpool are getting him, as I say, for his goal return. You know, there's talk that, for instance, if Josh King was to move, he'd be a £25 million player. Now, I like Josh King. I thought he finished the season really, really well for Bournemouth. But there's what he achieved last season, and then there's what Salah's done for 2 years on the bounce, playing in wide areas, like I say. So I think, you know, it's a strange fee. It's approximately what they paid for Mane last season. And as if he just does what Mane did, you know, Mane kicked on a little bit. But my thing about Mane was, when he was playing for Southampton, if he just replicates those numbers for Liverpool, we'll have got our money's worth. And that's the same with Salah. If Salah comes and kicks on, brilliant. But if he just replicates what he's done for Roma, that's more than good enough.
You make a really good point about obvious destinations for players. Like, the press would have us believe, or various sections of the press would believe, that all players are being fought over by 2-3 clubs. But the majority of players have an obvious destination, don't they? Salah obviously has a destination. It will be Liverpool. I still think Virgil van Dijk will end up at Liverpool personally. That's for me. Most of these, they're not being torn between two clubs.
No, I mean, where was the five-club interest in Jordan Pickford? There wasn't one. Everton had that boxed some time ago. I mean, you know, this is the reality of this is that, you know, clubs aren't just sort of waking up on the 22nd of May and going, oh, who is there? A lot of this stuff now, it takes a lot of time to get the agreement with the player and to explain to the player what it is that you actually want. We were lucky enough to have Melissa Reddy on one of our shows, and she was talking about Naby Keita as an example. He shares an agent with Mane. And the agency are really pleased with the way Liverpool have looked after and made Mane's life as easy as possible and done things like, for instance, put a prayer room in an Anfield for him to use and all that sort of stuff. And so, therefore, Naby Keita, Liverpool are basically the only club linked with Keita. Now, again, that can be a little bit difficult. Leipzig are independently wealthy. They may well decide that they don't want to let any of their players go. But the point is, there's not some big bidding war with 5, 6, 7 teams all after Naby Keita. Instead, if he's going to go, he's almost certainly going to go to Liverpool. And Liverpool and Leipzig will just, broadly speaking, sort the price out as per what everyone feels is market value. And it'll go from there. And you're right, you know, for instance, Manchester United have just bought the centre-half lad. And again, where was the queue of clubs? Because if he's a £35 million centre-half, then you'd think there'd be a queue of clubs. But the reality is, Man United have boxed this off with this lad, probably back in February.
Yeah, and even for the players who are at the very top end of the scale, so your Ronaldos of the world, there's so few players, even if he were to leave Real Madrid, there's so few clubs that could even be interested in him, that again, it's not going to be a battle. I just think we like to think there's this sensationalist thing going on behind the scenes, but it's not like that. I think it's all very straightforward. This time last year, we were talking about how we had a bit of admiration for Liverpool for getting their players in early. I remember the conversation. It was almost like yesterday. It's not happening in that way. Does it matter or not, Neil?
It does. And I think that Jurgen Klopp's going to be getting the back of pre-season training at some point in the next 10 days. Now, there is a bit of stagger on that, and it's worth pointing that out. There's a bit of stagger on that. You know, for instance, Lallana and Coutinho will come back later than a few of the others. But he's very clearly a manager who's committed to pre-season. You saw that last pre-season. They'll all have the individual sort of routines to go through whilst they're away, and that'll include the players who are even playing for other clubs. We're not talking 30, 40 years ago where players are coming back a stone and a half overweight. These are ridiculously fit men who will come back with a lot of fitness. But I think there's a period of time where possibly the other side of the Hong Kong trip, where Liverpool will start to do loads and loads and loads and loads of work on shape. And I think he'll want his players in by then. I think that'll be the marker in his mind. I think before the Hong Kong trip, it'll be a lot of work on conditioning, a lot of work on fitness. And trust me, he'll want them as fit as possible. He'll want them fitter this season than they were last season. He'll see last season's fitness as a jumping off point to go up another level this season. It's worth bearing that in mind. But I think that he'd probably accept that as a compromise to then get them in later than that, to work on shape, togetherness and understanding. And I think that's going to be a really, really important thing. It was last summer. You saw that in early games, Liverpool were able to play this ridiculous free-flowing football, so much movement, so much interchanging, and the manager was quite clear that that was the work that was done in pre-season. So I think, whilst I don't think there's like a deadline in his mind of probably around July the 3rd, July the 4th, I think there will be a deadline in his mind around he would just like to come back from Hong Kong, begin to reintegrate Coutinho and Lallana properly into the squad. And then from that point is where I think you'll see a real intense training camp in Germany. And, you know, football clubs are complicated things. There's a lot of horse trading that goes on, even at the level that Liverpool are at, in terms of there's the commercial benefits of, for instance, a Hong Kong trip. And it seems as though this time out, they're not, you know, they were in the United States for 10 days. They're not going to be in Hong Kong for 6. It may even just prove to be 5. And I think that the German camp, the other side, is going to be the key thing for Liverpool. And I think that's going to be the thing he's focusing on. Before that point, I think it'll be a bit like last season. You'll have a lot of look at sort of young players. For instance, Ovi Ejaria impressed, Marco Grujic impressed in the early pre-season, in the early pre-season friendlies. So I think that the early part of that is going to be an opportunity for some young players to impress him and shine. But I think he'll want his players in by the time Liverpool come back from Hong Kong and are looking at that German camp. I think that's the time. And it wouldn't surprise me that if anything's not sorted before then, if he just sort of draws a line at that point and says, well, I've got to go with these lads now.
And let's be honest, that those pre-season tours in the manager's head, it's a little bit of an inconvenience, isn't it?
He'd
probably prefer to do without the whole thing.
It's a huge inconvenience for Jurgen Klopp. I think I think his ideal scenario would be to take them to a camp in Scotland for 3 weeks and then take them to a camp in Germany for 3 weeks. That's what he'd like to do. And I think, again, Hong Kong's a little different. Last year with the United States, they were there for 10 days, and what he couldn't do was just sort of let them have that time off. I suspect if I was a Liverpool player, I would presume I'm walking back into a very intense 2.5 weeks before Hong Kong, that Hong Kong becomes a bit of a break. It becomes a bit of a rest up, lads. You're going to play 2 games, and apart from that, it'll be relatively light because the transport, the travel, the flying, all of that sort of stuff. But then when we get back to Germany, it's going to be the hardest work you've done in your whole life. And, you know, I think that that's the way that'll break down. And I think that's relatively logical, to be honest with you. And it also explains, you know, it was strange, the Australia trip at the end of the season. But in the context of a manager who sees this as, you know, it sounds unpleasant to say it because it's important that Liverpool tour and show themselves. You know, they represent the city, they represent themselves. It's good. But he sees this as something that he's just got to get through and get the other side of. So Australia happened at the back end of last season. It became a bit of a jolly for the boys, Agger, Carragher, Gerrard all getting involved. But now I think this is the proper work, and Hong Kong will just simply be a break in the proper work. Do some media engagements, try to relax, try to again rest back up after the intensity of the first part and then the second part. But as I say, what I think that means is that's the cut-off. I don't think it's quite as early as it was last season. I think if you're trying to get better players, bigger profile players, it's going to be harder work to get them in. But it wouldn't surprise me. I'm trying to think the right way to phrase this. It might surprise me, certainly, if Liverpool are buying players after the 1st of August.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.